Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Kuf Bet Amud Aleph, just to review what we finished off with yesterday. We brought a braita that was a problem for Rav Chisda's position. Rav Chisda explained to us that there's a difference between items that have a requirement that their bracha be made in place versus items that don't have a requirement that the bracha be made in place. We brought a braita that seemed to indicate that if people were at a wedding and everybody left the table to go see the great, the chatan and the kala, only if there were people remaining at the table were you allowed to return without any issues. But if nobody was left at the table, then you would require a bracha l'mefreya and a bracha l'chatchila. Again, we discussed yesterday what that meant. According to the Rambam, it means that you must make a birkat hamazon. Plus, then afterwards, you must make a bracha rishona, which is the way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins. On the other hand, Tosafot, and the way the Ramah paskins, is that you only have to make a new bracha rishona if you want to continue to eat. You have to make a bracha achrona before you leave if you think you're not going to return or there's a possibility you won't return. You should make a bracha achrona beforehand. But if you didn't make that bracha achrona, then when you return, you simply have to make a bracha rishona in order to eat. And then you'll make a bracha achrona on both of those items. But that was the braita. But the Gemara asked from that braita was, there is no differentiation here between whether this was a bracha that you have to come back for or a bracha that you do not have to come back for. Again, yesterday we discussed the machloket, the three-way machloket as to what that is. We have the Rambam and the Rashbam saying that it refers to all Shivat HaMinim. We have Tosafot, the Rosh, and the Rif, who say it applies to all Hamotzi and Minei Dagan. And then we had the Rashbam and the Rach that seems to imply it only applies to Pat and to Hamotzi. And Shulchan Aruch brings down the Shita of the Rashbam, as well as the Shita of the Tosafot. The Ramah also includes the Shita of the Rashbam. Mishnah Berurah brings down that the Achronim believe that the Shita of the Rashbam is correct. But the Gra thinks that the Shita of Tosafot is the most correct version. Now, the Gemara says, well, that's a problem for Rav Chisda. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, that's not a problem. Mantan Akirot. Who's the one who says that Akira is an issue? Rav Yehuda. Titanya, Chavirim, Shayum, Subim, Bakru, Lehem, Leleich. Because we had a braita that people sat down to eat and then they got up. Lebeit HaKnesset, Lebeit HaMidrash. They went to leave for the shul or for the Beit Midrash. When they go out, they don't require bracha. When they come back, they don't require a bracha. So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bamed, Vaimamurim, when is that true? Bizman Shenichu Sham Miksat Chavirim. That's only to left somebody behind. Valoi Nichu Sham Miksat Chavirim. There are only people behind. Shenyotzim Tunim Bracha Lamafreyev, Shenchozrim Tunim Bracha Lachatkhila. Then, when they go out, they require Bracha Achrona, and they require Bracha Rishona. So here you see that there's a machloke between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, as the Rashbam points out, from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when Rabbi Yehuda says, Bamid Vaimamurim, he's coming to be Cholek on the previous Shita. And if that's the case, then we have a Tanakhama who believes that you do not have to leave anybody at the table. And Rav Chisda will subscribe to the position of the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Yehuda will be the author of that Braita that we brought before, but that's a Dat Yachid. And therefore Rav Chisda does not have to worry about the Dat Yachid. Tosafot does point out over here that you see from this that going to Shul or to the Beit Midrash is not a Hefseg in the meal. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, when he brings it down, he says that davening is not considered to be a problem, despite the fact that one cannot daven and eat at the same time. Nevertheless, it's not considered to be a hefsek because a person intends to return to the achilah, and he's never mesiach dato from the tefillah, from the achilah. Now, that's definitely true if the person davens in their house. If they go to shul, then it's a little more of a complex situation. The Magen Avraham in the Mishnah Berurah says, probably right, says that you have to wash netilat yadayim again when you come back, because there was probably hesach hadat for your yadayim. Although you don't have to make a bracha on netilat yadayim, you don't have to make a bracha rishona as well. Despite that fact, the Mishnah Berurah brings in Hilchot Tisha B'Av that when you want to be mafsik between the suda that you eat before Tisha B'Av so you won't be hungry, and the suda mafsekah, in order that it won't be a bracha levatala, bracha shein tzricho, that if a person goes to shul for mincha in between, that will eliminate the problem. That's enough of a hefsek to say that one can bench beforehand and then make a bracha rishona afterwards. So where you intend it to be a hefsek, it will work as a hefsek. But if you do not intend it to be a hefsek, then going to shul or going to the Beit Midrash will not be considered a hefsek in the middle of the meal as long as your intention is to return to the meal. So now the Gemara continues and says, wait a minute, now from this Shita of the Rabbonon we can also see something which is important because it causes a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, who was the position that Yidei Yayin Yatsu. He argued on Shmuel and the Rab before, and he says Yidei Yayin Yatsu, that there's no problem with Shinu Makom when it comes to Yayin. So here in this Braita, we see from the Shita of the Chachamim, El Taima, Dvarim Aturim Bracha Achreim Bim Koman. The reason that you don't have to worry about it is because it's a bracha that you have to return to your location. Shein yotzim ein tonim bracha l'mafreya. Then when you return, you don't need a bracha achrona. Shein chozim ein tonim bracha l'chadkila. You don't need a new bracha rishona. Al dvarim shein tonim bracha l'achreim bin gomam. Items that do not require that bracha. Afilu l'rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, even according to the Rabbanan, shein yotzim tonim bracha l'mafreya, they need a bracha achrona. Shein chozim tonim bracha l'chadkila. When they return, they require bracha rishona. So the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda that when you're talking about brachot that do not require return to the place, that it's no good. That'll be another problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't we already bring a braita beforehand that causes a problem for Rabbi Yochanan? Let's say also that this is also a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. So now we have two braita that cause a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. So if you want to figure out a way to solve one of them, we'll still have the other one as a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. And again, there is definitely a challenge within the Braito to the Shito of Rabbi Yochanan. So I'm like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan can answer this question. Who didn't? Afil dvarim shein tonim bracha achreim bimkomam nami ein tzrichim narverich. Ein ochanami. You don't need to go back and make a new bracha, even with items that don't require you to come back for the bracha. The Chachamim do not agree with Rabbi Yehuda. They will say it whether it requires you to go back for the bracha, whether it does not require you to go back to the bracha. The Chachamim believe you don't need to make a new bracha. V'hadik tani akru raglehen. So then why is it talking about a case of akru raglehen? Akru raglehen, the Gemara assumed here, means that they left and there was a reason that they need to come back. The reason they had to come back was the bracha. And that's why we learned the Braita in that manner. But the reason the Braita is written that way is Odiacha Kocho de Rabbi Yehuda. It's to teach you the strength of Rabbi Yehuda's position. That Rabbi Yehuda's position is that Afilu Dvarim Shetunim Bracha L'Achreim Bimkoman. Even though you have an obligation to return because of the Bracha, Taima De Yenichu Mitzad Chavirim, it still only helps if you leave people behind. Avalo Yenichu Mitzad Chavirim, if they didn't leave people behind, K'shein Yotzim, Tunim Bracha L'Mafreya. K'shein Chozrin, Tunim Bracha L'Chadchila. And despite that fact, you still need a Bracha Chrona and a Bracha Rishona if there aren't people left at the table. So what you see from here, or at least what Rabbi Yochanan says, is this braita is really not a problem for me because I could explain it that shinu makom doesn't matter no matter what type of bracha we're talking about. Why does it only mention akru raglehem? That was to teach you the power of Rabbi Yehuda. Now in other places in Chas, we always say kolaf dehetera odif, and therefore we should have favored the position of the Chachamim over the position of Rabbi Yehuda. So why is it that we're focusing on Rabbi Yehuda's shita, not the Chachamim shita? So the Rashbam says over here that the koach hetera of the Chachamim is not really a big chiddush. It's not a chiddush because that's the logical way to go. The logical way to go is to say that you do not need to make a new bracha achrona or a new bracha rishona. So therefore, the bigger chiddush is in teaching Rabbi Yehuda's shita, which talks about two chumrot, one built on top of the other. Number one is that even though it's a bracha that requires you to go back, and number two is even though you didn't have hesach hadat, if there's no way at the table, then you still need to make a bracha achrona and a new bracha rishona. So since Rabbi Yehuda is the bigger chiddush over here, therefore we opt to have Rabbi Yehuda's position be the position that's focused on according to Rabbi Yochanan. So at least here, Rabbi Yochanan gets out of the problem of the braita being a challenge. We still have the braita before, which is a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan's position. Now, Tanya Kavati to Rabbi Chista, we have a braita that supports the position of Chista. Chavirim shayu mesubim lishtoti ayin. Friends that sit down to drink wine, vakru raglehem, and then they left for chazru and came back, ain't tzrichim levarech. They don't have to go make a new bracha. So now this works very well according to the shita of the Rashbam. And the girsa actually follows the girsa of the Rashbam. Because the Rashbam says this bright over here says that they were misubim lishtot yain. They sat down to drink wine. And the bright beforehand is not approved to Rav Chista because it doesn't mention yain. And therefore it's not clear what we're speaking about in the previous brighta. And so therefore the previous brighta was not necessarily approved to Rav Chista. But this brighta is approved to Rav Chista because it mentions yain. And this is the Rashbam Lashitato who thinks that a bracha that is tarich to go back to its makom includes all the shivata minim, includes yayin, and therefore works well for the Rashbam. The other shitot say that the girsa here is incorrect, and the girsa should not say lishtot yayin. You can see that in the Tosafot, as well as all the other opinions like the Rif and the Rosh, who all believe that this braita is a support for Rav Chista, but it doesn't necessarily say lishtot yayin here. And the previous braita that we mentioned before could say yayin in it. The Rashbam couldn't put yayin in the previous braita because that would be a disproof to his position. So he actually says that this braita has yayin in it, and the braita that we brought before does not have the word yayin in it. And the other shito do just the opposite. They have yayin in the previous braita because it's not a problem for them if yayin is considered to be something that you do not have to come back for. And in this braita, they do not have yayin mentioned because yayin is not one of the items that you have to come back for. That's part of that machloket that we saw yesterday. Now, as far as Psak Halacha is concerned, the Shulchan Aruch ends up paskening l'chumra in both of these issues. One issue is one we discussed with the Rambam versus Tosafot, which is that the Rambam says that when you leave the location, number one, you have to go back and make a bracha achrona, and then only after that make a bracha rishona. You're obligated to make a bracha achrona. That's number one, the way the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Rambam. In addition to it, the Shulchan Aruch also paskens like the Rambam, who's really following the shita of the Rif, which the Rif says that the halacha here is like Rav Sheshet and not like Rav Chista, because we have a braita that is difficult for Rav Chista. And even though Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok gave an answer, the Rif says that that was a dochok answer, and since it was a dochok answer, therefore the halacha is really like Rav Sheshet. And because the halacha is like Rav Sheshet, that means that any time that you leave the table, you're out. You have a problem. You need to make a bracha achrona, and now make another new bracha rishona. So that's the way that, again, the Rambam paskens, the Rif paskens, and then the Shulchan Aruch following in their footsteps, paskens that way. The Ramah paskens like the Tosafot in both of these issues. Number one, he paskens like Tosafot that you do not require a bracha achrona, only a new bracha rishona when you left the table and you intended to come back. And number two is he paskens, so does the Rashbam over here, they paskin like Rav Chista in this case, and say the Rav Chista Shita is the main Shita. The Gemara seems to be following the Shita of Rav Chista. As other proofs that they have, that this is, the halacha should be like Rav Chista. So you have the Rosh and the Rashbam and others who believe that the halacha is like Rav Chista over here. The two exceptions to this rule, no matter who you paskin like, are, number one, if you have in mind from the beginning to move from one location to the other. There the Magen Avraham says you have to eat at least a gezayit of bread before you start out, but as long as you had mind originally to move, you're allowed to move even from house to house according to the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Ramah. In addition, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Or HaChaim, which says that if a person is eating continuously food, then that's not considered to be shinu makom, because the food is moving with him, and therefore there is no shinu makom because of the lack of hefseg in his eating. Okay, now the Gemara moves back to the sugya that we saw earlier, which was the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, whether you have to be mafsik in the middle of your meal. So now it says, Tanu Rabanan, Bnei Chabura Sheh Musubim, they were sitting down, V'kideh Shalem Ayom, and then Shabbat started. Mevi'in Lo Kosh Shal Yayin, they bring him wine, V'omer Alav Gedushat Ayom, he makes Kiddush for Shabbat. V'sheni, in the second cup, V'omer Alav Birkat HaMazon, he says, he benches on it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Ochel Boleich Ad Shetech Shach. He continues to eat until it's nightfall. Gamro, when he finishes to eating, Kos Rishon Mevarech Alav Birkat HaMazon. The first Kos, he makes a bracha on Birkat HaMazon. V'sheni Omer Alav Kedushat HaYom. And on the second one, he makes Kiddush. And in terms of Kiddush, we saw this before, Tosafot mentions it again here, that the Kiddush B'makom Suda is accomplished retroactively. Since he ate a meal on Shabbat, the Kiddush that he makes at the end of the meal will reference the meal that he just ate. And that'll be classification of Kiddush b'makom Suda, that the Suda that he ate already will be the classification for Kiddush b'makom Suda over here. So the way that we have it, or the girsa that we have in our Gemara, is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you are mafsik, then you're mafsik and you first make Kiddush, and then you bench. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, who says you're not mafsik, says you first bench, and then you make Kiddush. The Rashbam brings down an alternative girsa from the Tosefta that has it reversed and says that even according to Rabbi Yehuda that you would first bench and then make Kiddush. But he favors the Lashon or the girsa that we have in our Gemara. On the other hand, Tosafot brings the same Tosefta and he says that he thinks that that Tosefta is not a problem and that actually the girsa could be reversed, that girsa is a good possible girsa. And he says that the people who have the girsa like we have in our Gemara is because they say, well, they can't have the kos birkat mazon because he has to make Kiddush first because he can't eat anything until he makes Kiddush. So they have to make Kiddush first and then have the kos of birkat mazon. Now, there is a machloket in the Rishonim as to why there's this different order between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, between the Baal HaMor and the Ra'avad. The Baal HaMor says the reason that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you make Kiddush first is because Kiddush is what makes you stop here. The reason you have to be mafsik is Kiddush. So since it's the reason for your stopping, you'll make Kiddush first, and then you'll say Birkat HaMazon afterwards. So the goreim to stop is the thing that you do first, that's Kiddush. On the other hand, the Ra'avad says that since the Zman have Kiddush has arrived, it's now the time for Kiddush, you make Kiddush first. Because it's the equivalent of, on Motzei Shabbat, a person who missed Mincha on Shabbat, and then he comes to Daven on Motzei Shabbat. Well, first you Daven Maariv for Motzei Shabbat, and you do Abdullah on that one. And then you may go up for the tefillah that you missed on Shabbat itself. So it's over here. First, you deal with Kiddush, which is the mitzvah of the moment. And then you complete or finish off what was from beforehand, the meal from beforehand, and you make Birkat HaMazon. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, the Baal HaMor says, Rabbi Yossi believes that you don't have to stop. Since you don't have to stop, Kiddush is not a goreim over here, so therefore you finish Birkat HaMazon, and then only afterwards do you make Kiddush. In addition to that, it happens to be that Kiddush, basically as Birkat HaMazon is more tadir. So you'll do Birkat HaMazon first, and then Kiddush, according to the Baal HaMor. According to the Rebbe doesn't address the position of Rabbi Yossi, but it's likely that he would also say something along those lines, that it has to do with the fact that Birkat HaMazon is more tadir, and therefore it should come before Kiddush. But you see that the Baal HaMor focuses on what's the goreim over here, versus the Rebbe that focuses on which chiyuv is the one that is most relevant at the present time. It's interesting that the Rosh over here discusses an issue with regards to whether in benching do you say Ritzeh. Now that you made Kiddush and it's already Shabbat, do you say Ritzeh in the Birkat HaMazon because you started the meal before Shabbat and you're only benching on Shabbat? So he brings down two deyot. One deyot that since you finished eating during the day, you shouldn't say Ritzeh. Or he brings down a second deyot that maybe you should, Kevin Shekadish Ayom, since the day already happened. So then the Birkat HaMazon is a Birkat HaMazon of Shabbat. And it's the equivalent of somebody who didn't daven an Erev Shabbat, and then he comes on Friday night, he has to double up the tefillah, he does two tefillot of Shabbat. Once it's Shabbat, the only relevant tefillah, the only relevant Birkat HaMazon is that Birkat HaMazon of Shabbat, so you go after the Shat HaBrocho, which happens to be a machlok to be shown in, whether we go after the Shat HaChila or the Shat HaBrocho, and this has impact in terms of certain situations where you have overlaps between adjacent days like Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh, as to whether the benching that you do when you extend Shabbat and you eat Shalosh Shudas all the way into Rosh Chodesh, whether you have to bench with Shabbat or bench with Rosh Chodesh, it turns out to be a machloket ha-rishonim. So now the Gemara asks the question, Amai, why do you make a bracha of Birkat HaMazon and then Kiddush HaYom? Yimir L'Tavayu L'Chad HaKasso. You should have both of them on one coast. Now this is a question according to Rabbi Yossi, because he's going to do both of them at the end of this Suda. Because that Suda is Kiddush, and the Birkat HaMazon is Shayach to the Suda of Shabbat. By Rabbi Yehuda, they're really two separate issues. The Birkat HaMazon has to do the Suda of Chol, and the Kiddush has to do what you're going to do going forward. So therefore, they're not connected. But according to Rabbi Yossi, where the Birkat HaMazon is the Birkat HaMazon for the meal on Shabbat, and the Kiddush relates to that meal, why don't we do them on one coast? Why do you have two kosot? So I'm Rav Huna, Rav Sheshet. Ein omrim shtei kedushot al kos echad. You can't put two kedushot on one coast. My time. Oh, what's the reason behind that? Amrav Nachum Yitzchak v'ishen osim mitzvot chavilot chavilot. You can't make mitzvot into bundles. So you can't make mitzvot into bundles. The Rashbam says over here the reason that is because the mechzeh leke masui. It looks like it's a burden when you do that. When you put it on top, it looks like you're just trying to get rid of all these obligations that you have in one shot. So it looks like a burden and it's inappropriate. On the other hand, the Rambam, the way he codifies this halacha, says in Hilchot Shabbat, Perichov Tet, that the reason is because you can't do two mitzvot together on a single coast. So Rambam says mitzvot chavilot chavilot is only a din deoraita, or din mitzvot deoraita, whereas Tosafot, we're going to see in a second, as well as the Rashbam here, believe that it can even apply to mitzvot derabanan. And it might be that the key to their machloket is what do you view as the problem here of mitzvot chavilot chavilot? Is it a problem in the chetza of a mitzvah, doing two chetzot of mitzvah on a single kos yayin? Well, chetza mitzvah is only shayach when you're talking about mitzvah deoraito. Or do we focus on the gavra? It looks like a masui on the gavra. Mitzvah derabanan applied to the gavra as well, and therefore it might apply to mitzvah derabanan as well. Here, Tosafot brings down a number of examples of that. One is the sheva brachot, that when it comes to sheva brachot and birkat hamazon at sheva brachot, you need two kosot or one kos. In Shulchan Aruch, he brings down this Tosafot and mentions that the Minhag HaOlam is to do two separate kosot. One kos for Birkat HaMazon and one kos for the Sheva Brochot. So we don't have this problem of mitzvot chavilot chavilot. There is an interesting Magen Avraham that deals with the question of two Sifrei Torah and why is or is that not the problem of mitzvot chavilot chavilot. It's the Magen Avraham and Or Chaim in Kuf Mem Zayin. Sif Chet, there the Magen Avraham talks about this issue of mitzvot nasei chavilot chavilot. In addition here, Tosafot mentions The other practice, which is the bracha of Kiddushin and the bracha of Erusin and the bracha of Nisuin, that we use two separate kosot for that as well, so there won't be a problem. Mitzvot, chavilot, chavilot. One reason he brings is because in their day they did them separately. They are not always together. And he says even when they are together, we make sure to make them on two separate kosot. And that's why we read the ketubah between Erusin and Nisuin in order to have a hefsek. So we can make a bari priagofen over the wine for the brachat Erusin. And then we make another bari priagofen for the sher brachot during the Nisuin that comes after the ketubah. And we use the ketubah as a hefsek to separate between the two and not make them into mitzvot chavilot chavilot. The additional issue that comes up is when you have two babies, twins, to do for a brit milah, or two babies to do a brit milah, what do you have to do in order that they're not mitzvot chavilot chavilot? And that is a machloket achronim, whether you have to actually separate between the britot, or you can actually do them together. Does mitzvot chavilot chavilot apply in that instance? The Gemara says, velo, we don't do mitzvot chavilot chavilot, v'atanya, nichnas beit tov b'motzei Shabbat, mevarech al hayayin. Comes in motzei Shabbat, he makes a bracha hayayin, v'ala me'or, and then on the candle, v'ala b'samim, and then on the spices, v'achar kach, v'ala abdala lakos, and he makes a bracha mabdil. And this is the shita at Beit Shammai, that the bracha of Eish goes before B'samim, we pass on like Beit Hillel, which is the opposite way around. But what you see here is that he makes a Avdala Kos. If he ain't lo Elokos Echad, if he only has one Kos, man, Yichud Achar Amazon. He waits till after the meal, Meshalshim Kulon Lacharav, and then he makes, say, one bracha, for Yiparagaf, and both for Abdullah and for benching, puts them together. Now, thoughts about here discusses why does he have to eat a meal now? Who says he first says maybe he's in the middle of a meal. Says, but the Gemara doesn't sound like that. So he says, Bid Yevit, because you only have this choice of having a meal and having Birkat Mazon with the Kos, if you do Havdalah afterwards, we allow you to eat before Havdalah, even though that, L'chadchila, we would never let you eat before Havdalah. It's an extenuating circumstance, and we let you eat before Havdalah because of the circumstance. Where it says, ain't lo shiny. He doesn't only has one Kos, what are you going to ask him to do? That's his only good choice. So there we say, let him do it together. But if he had two Kosot, we wouldn't let him do it together. Where it says, va yom tov shechal yot achar Shabbat, ditlei. What about the case where yom tov follows Shabbat? That, in that case, you do have two kosot. Amarav, yakna. Amri, midolo. So, Rav says you do yayin, kiddush, ner, havdalah. That means you're making kiddush and havdalah over the same cup of wine. Now, this is yakna, missing zayin. Zayin stands for zman. He's missing the bracha of shechianu. Well, he's missing the bracha of shechianu, which is the only yom tov that you don't make shechianu on. It must be michlal de shvish of Pesach. Asking, it must be the last day of Pesach where there is no shechianu. So the chol may davile achile, because whatever he had, he already ate up. Meaning he finished all his food, and therefore he is not going to have the ability or the means to have a cup here to have the wine. Va yom tov rishon to eat lay. What about yom tov rishon where he does have the cups of wine? Vamar abaye yak zaza. Verav amar yak nahaz. I'm not going to get involved in these because that's tomorrow's daf. It's going to explain exactly why they have these different orders. That abaye says you say yayin kiddush zman ner avdolah. And Rava says, you say, Yayin Kiddush Ner Avdalah Zman, but they have Zman here. If they have Zman, we're talking about the first day of Yom Tov, not the last day of Yom Tov. So according to the Rashbam, therefore he has the Arba Kosot, and if he has the Arba Kosot, he definitely has more than one Kos. Tosafot says, what do you mean? The Arba Kosot don't help him. He needs the Arba Kosot for the Seder. So the only reason that he has is because at the beginning of the Yom Tov, he plans out, he has tons of food, he has everything ready, he has more wine. But then the Yom Tov, he's an Ani, he may not have, and he won't have enough left over, he might have only one Kos. So over there he has multiple kosot, and despite that fact, we see them putting Kiddush and Havdalah together. Ela Havdalah v'Kiddush, chada miltohi. When it comes to Havdalah and Kiddush, they're considered to be one item, as the Rashbam explains, because Havdalah and Kiddush, number one, relate to the same idea, which is this issue of moving from one Kiddushah to another, or one Chol to Kodesh, or Kodesh to Chol. Since they're topically the same concept, therefore they are connected. And number two is, even in the Avdolah of Yom Tov, you say, from Shabbat to Yom Tov, you say, Amavdu ben Kodesh to Kodesh. So you're mazgir both Shabbat and Yom Tov in that Avdolah, so it's Shayach to Kiddush as well. So because of that, the Kiddush and Avdolah have a connection to them, and since they have a connection, you can do them one coast, because they're really considered to be one entity, or two sides of the same coin. On the other hand, Birkat HaMazon v'Kiddush, Trei Minilin Hu. When you're talking about Birkat HaMazon and Kiddush, they're considered two different items. They have nothing to do with each other. One is benching, one is Kiddush. It happens to be here that they came together and they're benching for Kiddush for a meal of Shabbat and making Kiddush for Shabbat. But the two have nothing to do with each other. And since they have nothing to do with each other, it would be inappropriate to put them together. It would be considered like, osim mitzvot, chavilot, chavilot. Okay, we'll stop over here.